Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
He's got Jonadab with all of his boys around. We got passion. We got zeal. Yeah, but God says, don't lie. Yeah, I'm using a little dishonesty, but it's getting God's will done. And after all, the end justifies the means. Is this a God thing, guys? By their fruit, beloved. By their fruit, beloved. No matter how contagious their zeal, no matter how sincere their preaching, no matter how focused, I have a vision. I have been sent by God. That is partly true. But his methods are not biblical. But Jehu acted deceptively with the intent of destroying the worshipers of Baal. Because God hates Baal people, doesn't he? What's the real answer? He doesn't hate Baal people. He hates what Baal does to people. Verse 20, and Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. So they proclaimed it. Then Jehu sent throughout all of Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. So they went into the temple of Baal, and the temple of Baal was full from one end to the other. Verse 22. And he said to the one in charge of the wardrobe, bring out vestments. I'm going to put on the priestly robes of Baal. Give me the biggest hat and the coolest vestiges. So he brought out the vestments for them. Then Jehu and Jonadab, what does Jonadab's name mean? Yeah, God wants this. By the way, you know what Jehu's name means? Jehovah is he. Jehovah is he. There was a prophet earlier in the word that we saw in the book of 1 Kings, I believe, and his name is also Jehu. The name means the same. Jehovah is he. With your Jesus glasses on, I think Jehu is serving nicely as a model of the Antichrist when he comes to the forefront and is embraced by the people. Because after all, he's getting God's work done. I think there's yet one more model that Jehu is affording to us. Verse 23. Jehu, Jehovah is he. And Jonadab, God wills it, the son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal, and they said to the worshippers of Baal, search and see that there's no servants of the Lord, Jehovah God, here with you, so that we are only worshippers of Baal. So he wanted to make sure all the real worshippers of God weren't going to be in on this massacre. He sets them outside, if there were any. Verse 24, so they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had appointed for himself 80 men on the outside, and had said to them, look, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands, if they try to make a break for it, tries to escape, whoever lets that guy escape, it shall be his life for the life of the other. A ring of guards outside of the temple. Don't let anyone leave here alive. Verse 25. Now it happened as soon as he had made an end of the offering of the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go! go in and kill them. Let no one come out. And they killed them with the edge of the sword. Then the guards of the officers threw them out and went into the inner room of the temple of Baal. And they brought the sacred pillars out of the temple of Baal, and they burned them. And they broke down the sacred pillars of Baal and tore down the temple of Baal and made it a refuse dump, a latrine. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. On the one hand, yay! Wait a minute. How did Elijah do it? He waited for an obvious demonstration of the real God to show up. And everybody saw it in the form of that fire that came from heaven. Then he says to everybody listening, okay, now that you've seen, choose. And evidently the hundreds of prophets of Baal on that day on Mount Carmel, they chose not to. Then the Bible says you were to take them and you were to stone false prophets, which they did. Here's what Jehu does. Psych! And didn't give one of them at least an opportunity to have a repentant moment. Is this Jehu going over the top? The book of Hosea says this is also a part of what's happening in Jezreel, in this area here. And God was watching. And a whole bunch of people got slaughtered that day. Without, it would appear, without an option to trust and turn to the living God. What is God doing? Letting this huge personality. He's God's man of faith and power. He's a man of national ministry. Growing passion and zeal. And he's gathering a tremendous crowd and following. So it must be a God thing. After all, he beat up on a bunch of poor Baal guys. Verse 29. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. That is, he turned to the golden calves that were at Bethel and Dan. I thought he was this man of... He had a powerful vision. He was on a mission. And other passionate people were jumping in. This was a major move of God. A powerful, powerful, influential man at the helm. He's a world shaker with a solid God vision, spouting Bible verses about destiny and purpose. Huge events are taking place. Massive amounts of people are involved, and thousands are being converted. This awful slaughter and deception. Was it really God's heart? What's the resounding answer, everybody? No. But didn't God know Jehu would go there? Here's the answer, sobering answer. Yes, of course God knew this is where Jehu would go. That's why God chose him. Like God chose Pharaoh, whose heart was so hard that he would never say yes to Moses. Because God had a purpose and a plan of systematically dismantling the 10 gods, little g, of the worldly culture of Egypt. If Pharaoh would have said, King's X, about Judgment number 2 or 3, God's purpose of hitting all 10 of those in the head would not have happened. Just like God chose Pharaoh to be a judgment on God's own people, does this model have any application to God's house today? That is a sobering question, Harvest Family. May we be people who know God's word, May we be people who are understanding of the various models. Jehu is a real fella. His name means Jehovah is he. His best buddy was one of the most devout followers of the scripture. Jonadab, his name means, yeah, God's in this. This is what God wants to do here. And zeal and passion and huge events. But God says in Hosea, he went too far. I asked him to go here. He went here. He took my word that I told him through the prophet sent by Elisha, and he ran with it to truly do what? Fulfill his own kingdom building purpose. Does that ever happen in the body of Christ even these days, you guys? And I've had people say, well, God wouldn't do that. When his house has moved away in a large degree from his word, when God's own people are entertaining idols and strongholds that are not his word, and he tries, like Israel, he sent them Elijah, he sends them Elisha, he sends them miracle after miracle, and they won't hear. I'll send Jehu, and he, through the inside, is my instrument of judgment on the people. Because what happens here in the next little while, Jehu sets up shop in Samaria. Where was God's capital? Jerusalem. He's going to hold on to the golden calf thing because he's going to set up his kingdom, his capital, in Samaria. And don't forget the knucklehead who set up that whole deal. He was a northern king goof-up. And the reason he probably is holding on to the golden calf worship is, I don't want people leaving the northern ten tribes region and going to Jerusalem three times a year. I will lose my influence. You know where he's going to be buried here by the end of this chapter? He's going to have himself buried not near Jerusalem, not near any of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's tomb. He's going to have himself buried in Samaria. Didn't God know Jehu was going to go here? Yes. And it is my opinion that when God's house has moved significantly away from the core principles of his word, God tries and he tries and he tries. And in his love, he will literally allow someone to come to the forefront inside his own house, so to speak. Men of great passion and zeal and vision. But what is their fruit? What if they have the biggest churches in the nation? What they are effectively doing is leading people away from the simple gospel that we are all hopeless sinners, that there is a very real place called hell, and God loves us so much and so desperately does not want us to go there that he zipped up a human suit and came and told the humans himself. He died on a cross for my wretched sins so that I wouldn't have to. I was a hopeless goober, and there was no way ever I was going to claw my way out. He had to come to my level and pull me up to his level. And when I come to church, it truly isn't about, gee, I wonder what Holy Ghost chill bumps I'll get tonight. It's not about what kind of programs you have. It's not about what's in it for me. And I may be in the minority here. I come to church with this powerful notion. I'm coming to worship an amazing, holy God that has saved a wretched sinner like me. Oh, blessed be your name. I know that's not popular. Prophetically, I think Jehu, Jehovah is he, is a model of the Antichrist. And I think that Jehu also is a powerful model for the Laodicean church age that we are in. And loved one, in the scriptures, do you see, along with me, that there is a model that God allows a dynamic, charismatic person to draw a great crowd of passionate people around him, but their real goal isn't to change and become more righteous like our Lord. Their goal is to get together around a powerful event and feel better about themselves. Food for thought. Let's zoom to the end. Verse 30. Then the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the, what generation, everybody? Now, this seems perplexing. Steve, I think this verse 30 shoots holes in your theory. Because look at this. God is pleased. The point of this is, God says, you did a portion of what I asked you to do. Hosea says he went too far. I think the key is what generation, everybody? The fourth. Remember how numbers in the Bible have a significance. Four is the number of the creation. What happened on day four? Day four, the creation, especially the cosmos, if you will. God created the material universe. Four is the number of the creation. How many directions on a compass? Four directions. Jehu wanted to hold on to his kingdom, is my hunch. Is that why he championed the golden calves? To keep people from going to Jerusalem, God's capital? Is the fourth generation a nod to Jehu's worldly kingdom? You started out well, Jehu. For your obedience to that, God will remember. Hosea 1:4 says Jehu went way past. Verse 31. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all of his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. Please remember Deuteronomy 28. Remember that? Israel, when you do well, I'll bless you. When you don't, when you go after idols, I am going to bring judgment to you. No doubt Jehu is a part of God's judgment on Israel. His administration is going to lead Israel into a horrible instance with another fella, a guy by the name of Hazael. Jehu's idolatrous administration is going to set the stage for a deeper judgment of God through wicked Hazael. Remember, we saw him in 2 Kings chapter 8. He was the one who murdered Ben-Hadad II. He's a Syrian. Ben-Hadad, who is ill, he sends Hazael to the man of God and says, is my master going to heal? Is he going to recover? And then Elisha says, he is going to recover, but he's going to die. And Hazael says, what are you talking about? And you remember how he wept, did Elisha, and he stared Hazael down. And Hazael's going, what are you looking at? And it said he stared at him to shame. Elisha says, I know what you're going to do, Hazael. He is going to recover from his illness. You are going to murder him. Hazael's all, what? And then Elisha begins to weep. Do you remember? Hazael goes, what are you weeping for? Because you are going to be used by God for more judgment on Israel. Under your leadership, your troops are going to come rolling into Israel. And you're going to dash the children against the stone. You grab a toddler by the arm or the leg and you whip them around and smash them. Your soldiers are going to plunge knives into the bellies of the pregnant women, rip open their abdomen, and the unborn fetus is going to fall out. Do you remember Hazael's response? Who do you think I am? You think I'm a dog? And in the next couple chapters, because of what Jehu does, deeper judgment is coming to Israel. Yes, sometimes God allows someone to rise within the body of His beloved because they clang the bell, they sing the siren song of passion, zeal, big events, lot of programs going on. But their inner life does not, will not walk with God. And God allows that as a judgment on His own house. Verse 32. In those days the Lord began to cut off the parts of Israel, and Hazael, there he is, Hazael, right, king of Syria, 2 Kings 8, verse 13. Hazael starts conquering them in all the territory of Israel, from the Jordan eastward and all the land of Gilead, Gad and Reuben and Manasseh and Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, including Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, all that he did and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings? Yeah, there's more to the story in Chronicles. So Jehu rested with his fathers, and they buried him where, everybody? At Samaria. Is that God's capital? No. That's the rebellious kings of the north who said, no God. That's his capital. It's my capital. Then Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his place, and the period of Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria for 28 years. Samaria was the northern kingdom capital, founded by wicked and rebellious King Omri, 2 Kings 16:24. Jehu got to be buried in the capital of his kingdom, not God's. Let's all stand together. Blessed be your name, Lord. I have been chewing on Jehu and his character for now a couple of weeks. Lord, I pray that this shepherd learns soundly and learns completely all of your word, Lord. And may this shepherd always remember that even though I think I have a this or a that, if it doesn't line up with your word, or if I'm chanting the cheerleading and raising the pom-poms of passion and saying, come on, people, because I'm energetic, because I'm charismatic, follow me. Let us all take a page out of the Jehu playbook. Just because it's got a juggernaut of momentum behind it, and everybody who's got passion and zeal are in the chariot with him, does not necessarily mean we should be a part. I thank you, Lord, that your fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. May this shepherd, Lord, always be mindful of his fruit. Thank you for the people that you've placed in my life, Lord, that I have challenged them, not just invited, but challenged them to say, please keep an eye on my fruit. And Lord, I'm tempted to look around at some of the other models and say, man, we should be more like that. I'm going to let God be their guide. And Lord, may you be the leader and the inspirer of Harvest Family Fellowship. And Lord, I'm going to try to stay as close as I know how to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the teaching of the disciples, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer, and in fellowship. Lord, let that be our model, and may we not be tempted to turn in the name of passion and zeal any other direction that you haven't called us to. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.